This morning, I'm going to read to you from the Gospel according to Luke. Now, it's not going to be Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, which is the Christmas story. You'll hear that in a few moments when we have our Christmas pageant. But I'm going to read to you the text that the lectionary has for this morning. And those of you who have been worshiping here for the past few weeks know that I have gone on the lectionary for the season of Advent. And those are pre-chosen scripture passages that preachers preach from. And Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38 is what's often known as the Annunciation. It's the birth of Jesus being foretold to Mary. So be listening now for the word of God speaking to us. In the sixth month, God rather sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Well, the title of this sermonette, homily, devotion, reflection, whatever you want to call it, is Good News for the Inconvenienced. I don't know about you, but Christmas time could be a very inconvenient time. Do you know what I'm talking about? Just to give you a real quick example, last night Susan and I were out shopping for some things that we'll need for Christmas Day. We're going to make a hash brown casserole for brunch on Christmas Day, so we're out looking for hash browns. Do you know we couldn't find hash browns in the first couple of stores that we stopped at? Because they were all gone, completely wiped out. You know, there were other kinds of potatoes there, but not hash browns. And it occurred to us, oh my goodness, people must be like really into hash brown casserole for Christmas morning. How many of you are making hash brown casserole for Christmas morning? Oh yeah, yeah, so you're the reason we couldn't find them. So finally we got to a store and there was like one lonely bag of hash browns left and we bought it. Same thing happened going to get sour cream to make dips. We're going to have chips and dip tomorrow too. Couldn't find sour cream. Gone. Off the shelves. Finally we had to instead of getting one big tub, we had to get like a gazillion of the little small ones. But all the big tubs of sour cream gone. And then we went to look for potato chips. And of course, when you have dip, you have to have the ripple chips. Yeah, you got it. Gone. So apparently a lot of you are having chips and dip for tomorrow, too. Next year, we got to start earlier, dear. That's all there is to it. But how inconvenient, right, to have to rush from store to store looking for this stuff. Christmas can be inconvenient in so many ways. And that really goes back to the beginning, if you stop and think about it. In today's story, where the angel Gabriel announces to Mary that she's going to be giving birth to the baby Jesus, and it's pretty clear from what the angel says that this baby Jesus is going to be the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one who would vindicate Israel, the one who would bring all nations to the one true living God, the one through whom the salvation of the world would be effected. You think that would be good news, right, to Mary? Oh, I'm so special, I've been chosen. And a baby, right? When we hear about the birth of a baby, we have all sorts of warm, fuzzy feelings, and we've all seen those videos of the reveal of an upcoming birth when the grandparents are told, and they kind of freak out with joy, right? You've seen them. Maybe you've had an experience like that yourself. But for Mary, this was not good news. This was not good news of a wonderful upcoming event in her life. This was news of something that was as inconvenient as anything can possibly be. And not just inconvenient, but something that would put Mary at great risk. Something that would terribly complicate her life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like inconvenience. Ask my wife. She knows my behavior last night in the supermarkets. And I don't like my life to be complicated. And I certainly don't like to be put at risk. So much of my life is spent trying to work things out for myself and my family so we're not put at risk. But this news of Jesus' birth was highly inconvenient for Mary. It complicated her life and it put her at great risk. Because you see, she was an unwed mother, right? She was betrothed to Joseph, which was a step between just dating and being engaged back then. We don't really have betrothals anymore, but it was pretty serious. She was betrothed, but hadn't married Joseph yet, so she was still unwed. And back then, being an unwed mother was seen as a great, great, big deal that society did not accept. There was so much stigma that was placed on young women who would have a child outside of marriage. So much so that certainly, Mary's family would have disowned her. They would have disowned her, no question about it. They would have told her, "You're no longer our daughter, you're on your own." Now, if you're a young woman, much of your security is derived from your family of origin. That's where your protection comes from. That would be cut out of her life. And to make matters worse, Joseph, according to the custom back then, would have the option of having her stoned to death. Stoned to death. That's a grisly way to go, by the way, having rocks thrown at you until you die. And the way he would have done that is he would have gathered the local community who would have been all too ready to start literally throwing rocks at Mary until she died. So talk about inconvenience. Wow, kind of makes the quest for hash browns last night seem pretty insignificant. Oh, come on, it was insignificant to begin with, right? But talk about inconvenience. Talk about having your life complicated. Talk about being put at risk. This is what the news of the birth of the Savior meant to Mary. Now, of course, we know there's the miracle of the virgin birth involved here. But for me, there's another miracle which astounds me even more than the miracle of a virgin giving birth. Because I believe, like the passage says towards the end, that nothing is impossible for God. God can do anything. But for me, the real miracle here is that Mary didn't say no. Didn't say, forget it. I'm going to make sure this doesn't happen. I'm not going through this. Think I'm going to be disowned by my family and maybe be stoned by my community with my beloved Joseph leading the charge? No way. Uh-uh. The miracle is that Mary said yes to God. And we have that classic line, "Let it be to me according to your will." Oh my goodness, what a young woman of faith Mary must have been. And you know, most scholars put her at about age 14 years old. In our culture, we kind of look down on girls of that age, don't we? Oh, they're flighty and all that sort of stuff. But here God is choosing a young woman of that age, and she is stepping forward in the pages of Scripture as one of the, if not the example of what it means to have faith in God and what God can do. She says yes, and she's going to go ahead with this pregnancy. Now, many of you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. God made sure that Joseph would not stone Mary, and God put things in place for Mary so that she would be taken care of. But I'm just amazed that she said yes. And I wanted to kind of mark that in today's little sermonette, homily, reflection, devotion. What does it have to do with us? Well, I think this. You know, God entered the world in a once and for all kind of way in Jesus. That isn't going to be happening again. There only needs to be one Mary. But yet we know that God is constantly entering our world in many, many ways. And that as members of the body of Christ, the actual physical presence of the risen Christ, the physical means by which the risen Christ reaches out and continues his ministry to a broken and hurting world, we're like Mary in a way, in that our ministry is to bear the presence of Christ to the world, not through pregnancy and a physical birth, but through how we open our lives to the moving of the Spirit of the risen Christ, in how we live, in how we spend our time and energy, in how we treat others, in how we arrange the priorities of our lives. And I think if there's anything that this story of the Annunciation of Jesus' birth, when set in its proper historical context, tells us, it's this. That most likely those places where God is seeking to enter a broken and hurting world through us will be places that are really inconvenient for us. Places where our lives do get complicated. And yes, places where we might even be put at some risk. So what does that mean for a person like me, where I'm always seeking to eliminate inconvenience and uncomplicate my life and avoid risk at all costs? I think this story gives us a new way of looking at those situations of life. Now, not that every inconvenient situation would be such, but here's what I think this passage would want us to do. The next time we do face a situation that is highly, highly inconvenient for us, the next time we do face a situation that makes our lives much more complicated than we would ever want them to be, the next time we find ourselves put at some risk, to ask ourselves, is this where the risen Christ is seeking to be made manifest to a broken and hurting world through me? And to consider making the response of Mary at that point. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. In a few moments, we're going to have our Christmas pageant. It's going to take maybe a bit to get it all arranged. Although I hear like some of the shuffling feet and other noises dying down in there, so maybe they're all ready to go. I know the wise men, I'm one of the wise men, I need to have a few moments to get ready. But in a few moments, you will be witnessing the Tabor United Methodist Church Christmas Pageant 2017.
So this is a very simple skit to involve some children in the Christmas story and some adults. Thank you all who are participating and helping. In the days of Herod the king, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Nazareth. Mary and Joseph need to come out. To a virgin, espoused to a man, whose name was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, Hail, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. The angel said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Thou shalt bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. And then you guys, you can, yeah, and then I need Caesar will come out. It came to pass that Caesar Augustus decreed that all the world should be taxed. Everyone to his own city. So Joseph went from Nazareth to the city of Bethlehem with Mary, his wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the day came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were, in the same country, shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. When lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not, for I bring you tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign: you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. When the angels were gone, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go into Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass." And they came. It's okay. Shepherds, go ahead up. You're going to walk to the manger. And they came with haste. Nope. Or not. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And behold, there came wise men to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star and are come to worship him." We have seen his star. Stars? And have come to worship him. And lo, the star. See if we can get the star out. Come here, star. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it stood over where the young child was. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The wise men departed into their own country, And the shepherds also returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. When the angel was called Jesus, and the child was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. All right, then everybody can, that's, and that, our story of Jesus' birth. Thank you.
Thank you.